Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about biblical prophecy being fulfilled. We're watching each and every day the foreshadowing of the ultimate events that shall be found in the Revelation text. The Revelation text is dealing with the eschatological future after the rapture of the church. But one of the things that we're finding today, we're seeing the handwriting on the wall, as some would call it. We're watching the stage being set. We're watching the actors being put in place. We're watching the hand of God as His word is being fulfilled. One of the things we're watching today in America, in the 5 battleground states where we had the theft of the election. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you ask the question, how does this play into biblical prophecy when we come to the fraudulent, phony election that took place and the coup that happened to overthrow the Constitutional Republic? Simply put this way, if we see our Constitutional Republic being destroyed, if it is overthrown, if the Socialist, Maoist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, if they have their way, we will have foreclosed the potentiality, the possibility of the gospel going forth, the church is surviving, and there being the opportunity to preach and teach the truth of the Word of God. And we're understanding, ladies and gentlemen, in the latter days, the apostasy shall take place. That's called the great falling away in the Scripture. And the apostasy was sped up, I believe, based on what we see taking place today in our churches, with thousands of churches remaining closed. And according to the Barna Report and others, the Pew Research and the Barna Report and Lifeway Report, that some 50% of those that have been out of church for over a year will never go back to church, and 50% of those churches that have closed will never reopen. And we're finding that, ladies and gentlemen, the speeding up of the apostasy, the falling away. And part of that is because what we have watched before our very eyes in America, with the government taking control, shutting down businesses, shutting down churches, with thousands of churches remaining closed today. And it was under the guise and the cover, the smokescreen of COVID-19, that we had the great, great deception that took place in the election process in 2020. I'd love to hear from you today if you're concerned about where this is going. I'd love to hear from you today if you're concerned about what is taking place in America with the socialist, Marxist, Democrats in control. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, are you concerned about the voter fraud? Do you believe it was voter fraud? In fact, there was a push by Nancy Pelosi to encourage all major businesses to put out a proclamation, a declaratory statement, that they believe that the election was fair and square, my terms, not hers, fair and square, and there was no fraud in the election of 2020, November 2020. And that's the talking points today. That's the mindset that somehow, some way, there was no fraud. And so if you say anything that there was fraud, then you're just simply a narrow-minded Christian or you're a narrow-minded conservative. And there's the hatred of the animus that is today so prevalent against anything that's called truth. We're not supposed to look at the facts. We're supposed to just simply look at what the Democratic Party says is the reality of it. And here's an article that says, I guess we know now who cheated, dated May 7th. Have you ever wondered about the kind of conspiracy it would take to cheat on a national election on what has been heretofore the greatest nation in the world that the world has ever seen? It's emerging. It's becoming more and more clear. The suspect list is growing. The Justice Department is getting involved, choosing sides in the dispute between the Democrats and the Republicans once again. Does that surprise anyone, the article says? Think of how quickly Attorney General William Barr ran from the scene of the crime. Think of how nearly everyone of the Justice Department opposed Donald Trump, from James Comey to Andrew McCabe to Rod Rosenstein to Christopher Wray to Peter Strzok. It was a cabal, and it has gotten worse under the Biden coup. In case you missed it, the Arizona legislature has been trying to get to the bottom of what happened. They suspect that something went very wrong in the election. People have jumped through hoops to make the biggest audit in American history possible. 2.1 million votes cast in Maricopa County. The Justice Department on Wednesday issued a formal warning to the state of Arizona by claiming that the ongoing audit of the 2020 election results may run contrary to the 1960s Civil Rights Act. The warning also indicated other potential violations, saying that there could be at least issues of potential noncompliance with the federal laws enforced by the Department of Justice. In a letter sent by Deputy Secretary Assistant Attorney General Pamela Carlin to the Republican Karen Fan, president of the Arizona State Senate, she went on to say the DOJ considered the fact that the election materials are now in the custody of a third party. That third-party company, ladies and gentlemen, is the Florida company named Cyber Ninjas. Due to this, the materials are no longer under the ultimate control of the state or the local government or officials and are not being adequately safeguarded by contractors as an insecure facility and are at risk of being stolen, lost, altered, compromised, or destroyed. Carlin continued, "We have a concern for the Maricopa County election records, which are required by federal law to be retained, preserved, and no longer under the control, ultimate control of the election officials, are not being adequately safeguarded by contractors at the risk of loss or damage. It seems the Justice Department wants to be sure that no one, listen to this, no one uncovers the proof of shenanigans in the election of 2020. And the question is, why is that so?" Let's talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. What's happening in Maricopa County, Arizona? What's happening in the other states that had questions about the election and the Dominion software and hardware system? I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, if we ever thought that the truth would come out because government officials did the right thing, that would be a crazy assumption on our part. Yeah. The administration literally hasn't changed much, you know, year by year by year. When Bush went in, of course, you get your appointments, if you can get them through the Senate, I guess. You get your appointments, executive-level appointments as a president. However, the SES, the Senior Executive Service, is actually the management wing for the government. They're what they like to call career professionals. That's kind of the notion of them being an apolitical career professional is an absurd notion. I want you to know, folks, in 2016, those folks showed their politics. In 2016, Hillary Clinton received 97% of the money support from DOJ, Department of Justice employee contributions. 97% of DOJ employee contributions in the 2016 presidential election went to Hillary Clinton. In 2016, the Department of State, 99% of Department of State employee contributions went to Hillary Clinton. Those are individuals that have disclosures required. You know, they're above the $100 mark, and they do the disclosures. Most of those individuals feel untouchable. They're management-level positions. They're SES. Look that up, the Senior Executive Staff, Senior Executive Service positions. That didn't change. That didn't change for 4 years under Donald Trump. Very little of it changed. You know, a few people decided they were going to, you know, skip town, you know, after they were found out on certain things. But most of those people are still in charge. The machine is still dominated by leftists. The machine was engaged by Barack Obama, and nearly every agency of government was militarized against his perceived political adversaries. Why do you think, you know, the midterms went the way they did, the first midterms for Barack Obama? Well, he pretty well shut down the advancement of any of these Tea Party groups. I say he did. Lois Lerner was the chief of the IRS, and she took the fifth. She was put on the stand, and she took the fifth on this. What do you think happened? Over 300 Tea Party groups were deprived their status by the IRS, pretty well hamstrung them during that time. They said, well, conservative groups get that. Liberal groups get that. You know what? During the same time frame, two liberal groups got that sort of mistreatment, that sort of abuse from the IRS. Why is it that Engelbrecht, that started the group True the Vote, why do you think she was audited by the IRS? Her husband was audited by the IRS. Both of their businesses audited by IRS. There was a full ATF raid. There was a full FBI raid. By the way, they didn't find anything. But those people were trying to Kathy Engelbrecht was trying to make sure that the voter rolls were legit, to make sure illegal aliens weren't on the voter rolls and dead people weren't on the voter rolls and people that moved away weren't on the voter rolls. That got her, that drew the ire from the left. It drew the assault from the left. They use government to obtain power and to stay in power, and we've seen it happen over and over. We're watching it happen today.
Yes, and Greg, one of the things that I find sad but true, during the Trump administration, just in the State Department, there were approximately 4,100 carryovers from the Obama administration, and would have made it impossible to get anything done. And yet, behind the scenes, the embedded bureaucrats are the ones that basically blocked everything that Trump wanted to get accomplished. But during the process now after the 2020 election, what's wrong with the question of saying, was it a true election? What's wrong with going back and auditing the election? What's wrong with verifying signatures? Tell us what you know in your position and thoughts on what's happening in not just Maricopa County, but for Arizona in general, for Georgia, for Wisconsin, and for the other states we call them the battleground states, where there's been an attempt to true the election.
Well, we need to realize from a 40,000-foot view, you know, let's get the high view of this thing, because for the left, they say there was no cheating. Now, for 4 years, they screamed Trump-Russia collusion, Trump-Russia collusion. They say that Trump colluded with Russia in order to win the election, that the Russians stepped in and operated on his behalf. No evidence of that. Matter of fact, all the evidence is to the contrary, but they spent $35 million of our money and broke out 17 top-tier attorneys that all hated Donald Trump in order to investigate him under the Mueller investigation, okay? And Hillary Clinton still today says that election was stolen from her. All that she really means is they didn't steal good enough to steal the election for her. You know, they stole good enough to steal the election for Biden, but not for her 4 years prior. So today, from 40,000 foot, we go, well, how in the world did they orchestrate this cheating? And those on the left that deny there was any cheating, they said, hey, why would they cheat, but they didn't get any down ballot success? That means, you know, they got rid of Trump, but they didn't win. They didn't have the wave that you would have expected. If they were cheating broad scale across the United States, they'd have absolutely clobbered the House, right? Now they lost seats in the House. How'd that happen? Well, the 40,000-foot view gives you a better perspective. You don't have to cheat in all 50 states to win the Electoral College and steal a presidency. You only need to steal in the those gray states, swing states, and in those swing states where the votes are really, really close, where you only need to steal 10,000, only need to steal 80,000, only need to steal 150,000. That's chump change. That's just a handful of votes, right? You pick the states that are swing states, that are close swing states, that you also have some major jurisdictions like Fulton County, like Maricopa County, states that are cities and jurisdictions where you control the machine as Democrats, as liberals, as socialists, and they control the machines in at least six of these swing states in six major jurisdictions. And all six of those major jurisdictions, they stop the vote counting. Isn't that a coincidence? They stop the vote counting. Why do you stop the vote counting? Well, how much do we need to steal, fellas? How many more votes do we need in this state to steal this vote? And all of a sudden, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., major ballot drops get you exactly what you need to win the state. Huh.
Wonder how that happened. And listen, you got laws in place to keep this from happening. Georgia's happy that they've got a new law, so you're actually going to have to do signature verification on ballot. Folks, that was already the law in the state of Georgia. And then you have the Secretary of State that cut a deal with Stacey Abrams so as to make that not the law. They weren't going to use signature verification going back to the original registration of the people that voted in the mail-in ballots. Why in the world would you do that unless you intend to cheat? Why would you do that? And they control Fulton County. So the law was in place. They didn't use the law. They used the order from the Secretary of State, which violated the law. So, folks, keep in mind, I'm saying this for the midterm election. If you think that these new laws are going to fix things, if folks are willing to cheat, the law doesn't matter. It's kind of like gun control doesn't matter because a person that's a criminal, by the very definition, they break the law. They break the law. But I'm hoping and praying that we see enough exposed within Arizona that people go, you know what? Enough is enough. We must have free and fair elections. Otherwise, we're a banana republic. Otherwise, we go the way of Venezuela and go the way of Cuba very, very quickly. That's what they intend for this nation. And I hope and pray that's not what we get.
Greg, you're exactly right. And one of the things that brings about consternation on my part, and it should every listener today. Here's an article that says Biden's DOJ, Department of Justice, sends threatening letters to the Arizona election auditors. The Biden Department of Justice has just sent a letter to Arizona Senate President Karen Fan, taking issue with Maricopa County's forensic audit of the 2020 election. And I could go into great detail. This is a 5-page article about that. But the question, Greg, in your opinion, in the 40,000-foot-up view, as you call it, in your opinion, why would the Department of Justice try to stop a state from analyzing its election and making a determination and ascertaining from a state level whether it was legal or fraudulent? Why would the Department of Justice jump into it? Here's in part what that letter says in the writing. It says, I write regarding issues arising under the federal statutes enforced by the United States Department of Justice that are related to all audits required by Arizona State Senate for the November 2020 federal election in Maricopa County. The letter states, quote, News reports indicates that the Senate subpoenaed ballots, election systems, and election material from Maricopa County and required that they be turned over to private contractors led by the firm known as Cyber Ninjas. The department has reviewed available information, including news reports and complaints regarding the procedures used by the audit. This letter continued, the information of which we are aware raises concerns regarding at least two issues of potential noncompliance with the federal law enforced by the department. The first issue relates to the number of reports suggesting the ballots, election system, and election material that are subject to the Maricopa County audit are no longer under the ultimate control of the state elections officials, are not being adequately safeguarded by the contractors, et cetera, et cetera. Greg, if the election were supposed to be fair and square, if Biden won by millions and millions of votes, if Biden won by the largest landslide of votes in American history, why would the Department of Justice want to stop an investigation that would supposedly not do anything but prove that Joe Biden is the legally elected president? Why would the DOJ jump in with an iron fist and threaten Maricopa County in Arizona with federal suit unless they basically cease and desist the vote counting and the recounting?
Well, you know, an honest arbiter, an honest reviewer, an honest law enforcement mind would be participating on the inside rather than challenging from the outside. You know, if the Justice Department were truly about justice and they didn't want every vote to count, they wanted every legal vote to count. You know, every vote shouldn't count. If you're illegally in this country, if you're voting multiple times, if you're a dead person, then your vote shouldn't count. All right. And that's why I say what I say. They need to make voting easy, but cheating really hard. You know, that's been used a lot lately, but I'm going to use it today. And if you're interested in justice and you're part of the Justice Department, you want to see justice served. That means you're going to be a player on the inside to make sure that justice is being served. But no, they want this to stop. and you've already rightly said this, if there's no cheating, what's the problem? If there wasn't a giant fraud, what's the problem? Now, they say it's maybe voter intimidation. If you show up at Greg Youngblood's front door and say, hey, Greg, is this your ballot? Did you vote in this election? So that may make some people nervous. That doesn't make me nervous. But that's the thing. They're saying that that could be voter intimidation. And the other thing, the security of the ballot, my goodness, this Justice Department didn't care one whit about the security of the ballot in state by state during the election or after the election. We've already had stuff that's disappeared, and there in Arizona, they've already admitted, hey, we don't have admin codes for those machines. What in the world are you? If you're the elections office and you don't have admin codes for the machines, admin access to the machines, what in the world are you? You aren't running the election either. So
Greg,
don't give me this stuff about it's not the – yeah.
You touched on that, and you're exactly right. Here's another article that says Maricopa County refuses to provide the routers to the election auditors. The embedded Democrats that's in control of some of the precincts, apparently, they have the routers for the auditors, and they refuse to turn them over. It says Maricopa County has more than 50 different county departments, and the routers of the Senate subpoena commanded by the county commanded the county to produce support of all of these documents, not just the present elections. This includes critical law enforcement data, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're refusing to turn over data that's subpoenaed by the Senate. Greg, hold on a minute. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, go over the question or comment, please.
Bless the Youngblood family for speaking the truth. But getting back to the cosmic things, in the past, world scientists have been surprised by near misses from comets and asteroids. This is because our sun prevents total scanning of the deep space. Some of the dangerous comets and asteroids cannot be detected until they emerge from behind our sun. Also, a massive corona mass ejection would generate identical global catastrophes as described in Isaiah and Revelation. God is going to shake this earth, and there's no Democrat that can stop it.
Brother, you're exactly right. Greg, before you came on the air, we were talking about what had just happened with the 10-story, 23-ton spacecraft debris that landed in the Indian Ocean, I believe they said. But the question was, is this prophecy, is it being fulfilled? And as you understand the scripture, and I know that you do, in the 8th chapter of Revelation, verse 10 and falling, during the days of the tribulation, something of this will happen, and it will poison one-third of the earth's water, potable water. And so this is not prophecy being fulfilled today, but it's the foreshadowing of prophecy that will ultimately be fulfilled according to the Word of God. How do you respond to what we saw last week in relationship to that?
Yeah, we could see another event like that any day. We don't know how much, not just space junk is up there, but things that that our military and other militaries are controlling. We don't know when the day may happen that something comes tumbling back to Earth, and based on nuclear pollution or whatever, what may happen, but we know it will happen. Something falls from the sky and wipes out, what is it, a third of the Earth's potable water. It's going to happen, and we do kind of see that foreshadowing. It makes us go, we're about to see, because we're watching prophecy jump off the pages of the newspapers every day.
And, absolutely.
And the foreshadowing of events that we know are to come in the near future. So absolutely, I think it should make every Christian kind of excited, not worried. I don't get worked up at these things when they talk about a meteor heading is going to come wipe out Earth. I don't get the slightest bit nervous. Matter of fact, I'm going,
<That's>
yeah.
<right.
laughs> it's exciting from my perspective.
Absolutely.
Because I know who controls the future. I know who holds my tomorrow. So it's great. It's a great time to be alive and witnessing these things.
Yes, it is. Joseph, thank you so much for your call and for your input on that. Greg, just another thought or two. We've got two or three things that, if time would allow, we could cover today that I believe would dovetail with our prophecy aspect of prophecy being fulfilled and the foreshadowing of that prophecy being fulfilled. But one of the things that we see now is state after state after state that's instituting the COVID pass, the requirement to have your COVID vaccination and the passport so that you'd be able to travel. What is your take on that? What is your understanding of where we're going with that? And should we, as Christians, be willing to submit to that? Should we just voluntarily say, I don't know what's in that vaccination, but if you say I've got to have it, give me the jab? What is your position on this?
Every believer needs to realize, yeah, God is sovereign, God is in control, but God has given you a sound mind. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. I've quoted that over and over and over and over and over, that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Use the sound mind that God gave you and analyze these things for yourself. I'm not going to give you the advice that don't take it, do take it. I'm not taking it. I'm not interested. 3, 4, 5 years from now, once they've been passed through all these test phases, once you folks have all played lab rat for them and it looks good, well, hey, maybe so. Right now, I'm not concerned about it. I don't fall in the demographic area, whether it be my age or my health, that I'm in a high risk category. So I've done the math. I've used the sound mind that God has given me, and I've made a decision. That is your decision, folks. It is not the decision of a tyrannical, authoritarian, demanding government. It's your decision. And I think for every believer, you need to stand and realize that you are not a second class citizen. You do have responsibilities. You have decisions that are your own as an autonomous human being. And because you're a Christian doesn't take that away. So stand for your rights. Even Paul was willing to stand for his rights as a Roman citizen, and I think you as an American citizen should have the same right to stand for your rights.
Absolutely. One of the things that I find that this is a foreshadowing of, as you know, in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, where there's coming a day when the Antichrist is on the scene, he can control the entire world. And down through the centuries, theologians and pastors have asked the question, how is that possible? And we're watching the foreshadowing of that with the QR code, the COVID pass, that's now the Excelsior code in New York. Canada's already instituted it. New York's already instituted it. Israel's already instituted the COVID pass. Washington State just announced last week that they've instituted the COVID pass, and that is the passport. And without that, you will not be able to buy, sell, trade. And it goes back to matching what's being done today in China with the social credit score. And so, Greg, we know this is coming. And yet we have those today that are saying that it's the Christian that's preventing the nation of America from being safe, that it's the Christian that's refusing the vaccination. Therefore, the Christian is responsible for not allowing us to reach herd immunity. It's the Christian. What we're watching, Greg, I believe, is watching the denigration of our society, the division of society, the dethroning of God, and the forced vaccination on all people. Now they're saying 12 years old to 16-year-olds can start next week, I think it is, taking the vaccination. And we have no idea what it's going to do. But the major thing is that I want our listening audience to understand is that prophecy is on the fast track of being fulfilled. And what we're seeing today is the foreshadowing of that ultimately taking place. Greg, one final word in about a minute that we've got on the broadcast with the closing down of the gas lines because of the cyber attack. What is that going to point out for us? What's going to happen as a result of that, and where do we stand as a nation with that? Quickly, we've got about 15 seconds.
We're standing in a position of our vulnerabilities being exposed to the whole world. So I expect more of this in the days and weeks and months to come, and the chaos that ensues will be used by the left. But for us as believers, we don't need to be in fear. We need to realize, even as Joseph went through chaos in his life and decades later, look back, and his brothers said that